Thank you, Bob. As far as I'm concerned, I could go home right now and be blessed just to hear those songs. And yet you're going to have to listen to someone talk. I'm not going to preach. And yet I felt after receiving an invitation from your president to come here, I did not want to travel all the way from Pittsburgh to Denver and then down here to Colorado Springs, knowing that I would be accountable for every word that I said here tonight, and knowing that you men are here wanting to hear from God. I'm not a preacher. I was telling Bob Kaiser, once I get out of Pittsburgh and get west of that, then I'm some punkins. I'm the president of Alliance Men. When I get back to our Alliance Church in Altoona on Sunday morning, I'm just a common, ordinary layman like you, teaching the men's Bible class and leading a little singing, serving on the executive committee. So that I'm not a preacher. My dad was a preacher, an Alliance pastor for 39 years. When I was a kid, I remember I told Dad one day, I'm going to work for a living. And the Lord allowed me to work for the Young Men's Christian Association for 46 years. We retired just 6 years ago after being a physical director, a general secretary, and on the national staff for 22 years. But just about 2 weeks ago, I was sitting and I thought, well, the Lord allowed me to be a YMCA secretary for 46 years to prepare me to be president of Alliance Men for 7. Because so many things that we did there in organization and in detail work has helped us in our work with our laymen. Tonight we're going to talk. I'd like to talk about things. Last spring I was asked to speak at our church high school graduates night, and having graduated from high school myself 51 years ago, I talked about things I wish someone had told me when I graduated back in 1923. I remember one of the things that I talked about, and one of the things that I wish someone had told me in 1923, that I would, for the rest of my life, have to make decisions. And decision making is not easy. To make a decision, you have to work. I remember my first work as an assistant YMCA secretary. We had a fine old-time Y man as my chief executive. And I was just a youngster then, and I went to him one day and I said, what should I do to become a good YMCA worker? He looked up at me and he says, I can tell you in two words, good decisions. Fine. I said to him, how do I make good decisions? He says, I can tell you in one word, experience. Well, I had just started the week before. I was a little puzzled. How do I get experience? Was my next question to Mr. Stoll. He says two words. Wrong decisions. Back in 1951, Vern and Irv Sir Lewis and Frank Meyer were in a rowboat in Lake Erie. They were fishing. And they made a decision. A decision to start a men's fellowship in the Christian Missionary Alliance. They decided to call it the Layman's Crusade for Missionary Action. They decided its purpose, its objectives, and how it was to be organized. Today it is Alliance Men, because someone decided to change the name. Your district decided to name Bob Kaiser as president several years ago. Then they decided to have a men's retreat and decided that it should be held here in Colorado Springs. They decided on a program, and it was decided that I would be invited to be one of the speakers. And I decided to come, and then I had to decide what I was going to speak about. And I decided I was going to speak about things. And by this time, you're no doubt wondering what caused you to decide to come. But things is a Bible subject. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians, 4th chapter, and the 8th and the 9th verses. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, that's us, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which we have both learned and received. Someone said that if you want to be nasty and say something nasty about a person, call him a layman. Being a layman seems to imply that you're not trained or you're not a professional, but you're just an amateur. We laymen have difficulty knowing the difference between an epiglottis and esophagus. And laymen still wonder what habeas corpus means. And even in church, I'm not so sure when they talk about the Apocrypha. Professionals are full-time people, and they're trained to know the answers. And Alliance men were first called the Layman's Crusade for Missionary Action. For a time, it was thought that it was the layman over and against the pastor or the clergy. Well, I'm thankful that that day's passed, and Alliance men today includes both lay and pastors. And I'm delighted with the number of pastors that you have here. Both lay and pastors are called of God and working together today as a shared ministry. There is today a togetherness, and it's refreshing to see pastors and laymen working together and taking fresh approaches to local church programs. Even working together, pastor and layman, we have not found all the answers, but God has called us to seek them. And here are some of the things that I want to bring to your remembrance. Some questions. What is Alliance Men? Are we an organization or are we a ministry? Where do we go from here? We're 23 years old now. What's ahead for Alliance Men? In 1980, if the Lord tarries, where do we go from there? You do not need to be assured that I do not know all the answers. And I tell you so that you know that I share, that you're aware of that. But I find men today welcome the opportunity to share our concerns and our visions as Alliance Men. Within our movement, we have thousands of God-fearing laymen who desperately desire to be challenged to a ministry of Christian service. Already in challenging laymen, we have found that there are two problems. One, many men are using half or less of their abilities and their gifts and their influences for God. In our own church, within the past 6 months, we made a study. And we found that that study showed that 33% of our members were doing 95% of the work and were giving 70% of the financial support. 33% of our members were doing 95% of the work and furnishing 70% of the financial support. I've talked with pastors since that, and they say that this is just about the average. That one-third of the people in the average Alliance church today do 95% of the work. We have 210 members. 71 of them had jobs. I mean by that they were in some kind of ministry in the church. They included the elective jobs such as your church executive committee and your elders and your deacons. It included the appointed jobs such as Sunday school teachers and deaconesses, and it included the volunteer jobs, such as those in the choir or people who work in the nursery. What is our potential? If we would just double the number of active workers in our Alliance churches today. The second problem that I found is that we have laymen showing concern for the spiritual life of the church and for the community which their church serves, and these men are aware of their personal responsibilities, but they feel inadequate. They feel that they have not been schooled or they have not been trained. They see laymen who have gifts and laymen who have abilities, and then they become discouraged, feeling that if they cannot do the work like some other person does it, then God's not using them. One of my closest personal friends is Stanley Tam. I've been around with Stanley many, many places. I could never do the things that Stanley Tam does. And therefore I do not try. But we have men who, because they cannot do things like other people, they say, well, count me out. How can we best serve these men? Now, no one can question that 99% of the members of any church are laymen. And when we say that we're not satisfied with the progress that's being made, we have no one to blame but ourselves. No one can question that there are many areas in our church that requires the skills and the abilities of laymen. We have a responsibility to see that more laymen are given work and that every layman be given the opportunity to learn and be trained for Christian service. Jobs for all would be a good motto. I believe that laymen are called, and I believe that laymen are given gifts. Laymen have always had calls in the church. We have calls to support the church. We have calls to attend regularly. We have calls to live a holy life. We have calls to pray. Now we're hearing a new call. A call to work. Not only pastors, but laymen. And laymen can no longer shirk the responsibility by giving to a full-time Christian worker. The time has passed when you can pay someone to respond to God's call for you. Laymen have the same responsibility as a pastor to carry out the commission of Jesus Christ, which is to go. Too long have we paid the pastor to carry the gospel to our brother and our neighbor. People are important. Every person is important. Every man in this room tonight is important. You're all needed. And Alliance churches will grow and be strong when we get individual people involved in God's plan for saving the world. Dr. Stays, one of our Alliance teachers, now down at Christian Publication, has written a book, Understanding My Church, which is the history of the Christian Missionary Alliance. If you haven't read it, I'd encourage you to get a copy and read it. In the book, Mr. Stays says, quote, Pastor Simpson had a motto for the church, a work for everyone and everyone at work. In 1913, that's 61 years ago, Dr. A.B. Simpson, the president of the Alliance, in 1913, in his report, the council set forth the character and nature of the Alliance. And this is what he said the Alliance was 61 years ago. It's evangelical. It's evangelistic. It's spiritual. It's interdenominational. It's international. It's a pioneer. It's economical. It's premillennial. And it's lay, L-A-Y. And then he wrote this, and I quote again from Dr. Simpson. It is a lay movement utilizing agencies for which otherwise the doors had been closed, encouraging consecrated laymen, the earnest businessman, the humble farmer boy, the spirit-filled maiden whom the master had called and fitted to follow in the footsteps of the lowly fishermen of Galilee, and create a new battalion in the army of the Lord. The volunteers and irregulars of whom we have no cause to be ashamed, and who but for this movement might never accomplish the glorious work. Would that we could bring that right up to date and say, this is our report now. That the Alliance is still a movement in which laymen can play an important part. Now let me make it very clear. I am for full-time pastors and missionaries. The best friends I have are the pastors that I've worked with down through the 65 years. They are the finest, and under their leadership, the Christian Missionary Alliance has been blessed of God and has grown to the movement which it is today. My point is that we laymen have left them down. We have expected them to do our work. The work and burdens are too big for pastors and missionaries to do it alone. Key 73, if it had done nothing else, revealed to many laymen that they could witness and win souls for Jesus. And it revealed to pastors that there were laymen who could, when challenged and trained, witness and win souls to Jesus Christ. I firmly believe that God had raised up Alliance men in the United States and Canada to enable us to shorten the gap that was existing between the lay and the clergy. In the States and Canada, we have seen a joining together of hands and forces, and laymen are in no way demanding that they be given responsibilities, but pastors and leaders are asking laymen to assume responsibilities and to work. And I'm glad for this, that it's not only being asked to raise money or fold papers or stuff envelopes, but today laymen are serving on the board of managers in New York, on many national committees, on school boards of trustees, on district committees and special committees where their knowledge is useful. And I feel the major thrust of Alliance men is not organization, as important as organization is. And I'm for organization, but I feel our major thrust is that we be a ministry. Our group should offer an opportunity for Christian service and ministry to each and every man in every local Alliance church. A ministry for which he is best suited. We're not all going to be doing the same things. I would like to see every Alliance church set up a stewardship committee, not for raising money, but for securing manpower, to study the gifts and the abilities of each man in the church, to challenge him to work and provide all the tools necessary for him to do the job. To do this would require prayer and planning and much work. Now, Alliance men have laid some tracks, and we have national and area or district officers. There is goodwill between pastors and laymen, and Alliance officials accept us as an auxiliary that can be of great assistance in the Christian Missionary Alliance. And our laymen are no longer asking, what can I get? But they're asking, where can I minister? And as we look ahead, we should have well-defined plans and programs. And there must be spiritual and personal development if we are to cope with the problems that you and I are sure to face. It may be that we'll change some of our methods, but our message of Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King must never be changed. It is so easy in today's world to trust to our abilities, our strength. But we must always remember as laymen, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Well, how are we going to develop? In business and in sports, when you start to lose, You look around for a solution. This morning I picked up a paper in Chicago. And of course, tomorrow Michigan and Ohio State play for the Big Ten Championship. And I saw where Woody Hayes was going back to basics. He was going to use the same things he's been using all year. And that's what you and I, as Christian men, if we're going to develop, have got to get back to these basics. I remember when I played sports, if we got to losing, the coach said, all right, let's get back to basics. And it was blocking and tackling. Alliance Men was born with a definite purpose. And when formed with a definite purpose, there were also established some basic objectives by which the purpose could be attained. And then we set some goals for carrying out these objectives. We think of a man who writes an article in a newspaper who in the opening paragraphs gives you the who, the what, the when, and the where and the why. And the purpose of Alliance Men is stated in our Constitution. It will not be changed. It was formed to do something. And it has a purpose. That's the why. If we did not have Alliance Men, you and I would probably want to organize because of certain things that we wanted to do. That's the why. The objectives is what we do. And the goals are the who and the when and the where. Several years ago, Alliance Men was floundering, setting up an organization. All of our time seemed to be spent in membership and dues and program and finance. And then we went back and we resurrected the basics, our purpose and our objectives. And in 3 years' time, organization has taken a back seat and ministry is now the key. And let me say this. That has resulted in a better organization. Because now we have men who want to be a part of it. Because they know what the organization is endeavoring to do. Basics are always simple. Our basics are very simple. Here are the five things that they decided 23 years ago that Alliance Men should have as their objectives. Number one, promote Christian fellowship. That's what we're doing here. Number two, witness effectively. Number three, encourage intercessory prayer. Number four, assist in the extension program. Number five, develop stewardship and loyalty. What more basic reason for having a men's group than these five objectives which were decided upon 23 years ago? They've been resurrected, and this is what has put new life into Alliance Men. Witnessing, prayer, these are basics. You can't do things without them. We were trying to do other things. We were going off in all kind of facets. Now we have our objectives. But to make them useful, we have to make them known. We have to make them known to every men's group in the United States and Canada. We have to continually evaluate their usefulness because you can change objectives. You don't change a purpose, but you can change objectives. Number three, we must use them effectively and creatively. And used effectively, they will tie the work of the clergy and the laymen together. This past year, we have had five commissions chaired by laymen and with laymen on the commissions, but with pastors and officials as members of these commissions, and they've studied these five objectives. And after reading them, these studies, and looking at their content, I felt myself that they are a useful tool that can be used in a local church with a local layman. But everything that is in the five studies can be said in two words. Jesus only. And that's still our message. And that's the reason we have a men's group. Even with five basic objectives, Jesus only is still our aim and our purpose and the top priority of every Alliance Man. And it should, he should be willing to win souls to Jesus Christ and also establish extension churches. Now we have these other three objectives, but I think if we just take and use them to win souls and also to establish churches, then we as a lay group have an objective that points to one thing, winning people to Christ and establishing new churches. And if we do this, the contribution to the Alliance will be substantial. And to do this, we must not be complacent. By the way, I had 25 of these commission reports sent out here. They're $1.25. If you want one, I would say this. I got much out of reading them myself, and we've used to make that study of the use of our people in church, we used the one on stewardship. And we carried out some of the things that were given to us in these five commission reports. But if we're going to do this, we must not be complacent. We must set our hearts to continue the revival of personal witnessing and extension that is taking place. There must be a responsible man in the local church to deal with the how do we do this. This may be the pastor. He may turn it over to a layman, but there must be one man. It just does not happen that these things grow up themselves. God always uses people. And God uses individuals. To have a purpose and objectives is good and it's basic. But effective local planning under the guidance of the Holy Spirit is imperative if it's to be successful. I think the most important thing that I'll say tonight is in the next sentence. Nothing can replace action in a local church. Nothing can replace action in a local church. We have these retreats. We have our breakfast at council. And these are great. But unless what we get here at this retreat we carry back and put into action in our local church, of what value is it? The greatest work a layman's organization can do is the local man and the local church. You know, you and I live in an exciting age. What would Jesus do if he were on earth today? 3 weeks ago, I had to go to New York, and I stayed at our old headquarters. By the way, we visited our new headquarters up at Nyack, and there are some pumpkins. But we had to stay at our old headquarters overnight and then go up to Nyack the next morning. And that night I stood outside 698th Avenue, where the old Gospel Tabernacle was. And I watched the thousands of people milling past there on 8th Avenue. And the thought went through my mind, what would Dr. A.B. Simpson do here in New York City if he were here today? These are exciting times. But that's not the question, what are you and I going to do? Last week, as I sat at home, I rethought again, what is Alliance Men? And I thought of some of the groups in my own church, and I thought of some of the letters that I have received, and I thought of some of the pastors and laymen who have talked to me and told me of the things that are going on in their churches. Let me tell you what Alliance Man. You know, I was an Alliance Man for 30 years and didn't know it. Nobody ever told me that I was an Alliance Man. Let me tell you what Alliance Man is. It's simple. Alliance Man is six men gathered for prayer at 8:45 every Sunday morning prior to Sunday school. Alliance Men is seven elders with a pastor at a divine healing service on Sunday afternoon. Alliance Men is 11 men in our radio choir at the start of our Sunday evening service. Alliance Men is 10 men meeting as a church executive committee. Alliance Men is three retired men volunteering to assist our young people in their craft work. Alliance Man is one man, and I saw this happen. I walked into our Sunday school one Tuesday morning, and I saw one man with a prayer manual in his Bible praying for our missionaries. That's Alliance Men. Alliance Men is 40 men gathering early Saturday morning for a breakfast prepared by six other Alliance Men as they started work to clean up the church grounds, including the parking lot. That's not outwinning souls, is it? This is Alliance Men. Alliance Men is 50 men and their wives in Hamilton, Ontario, at a formal banquet, long skirts and everything, listening to the president of Alliance Men outline for them their program for the coming year. Alliance Men is 1,200 men gathered for a two-day retreat at the Mahaffey campgrounds. And some of them, I think, had to sleep in trees. And that same group, in less than 15 minutes, gave $10,000 cash to build a speaker's dormitory. That's Alliance Men. Alliance Men is six men in a little town in Ohio gathered for breakfast, having invited two friends of different faiths and talking about Jesus. Alliance Men is a group of men in Canada gathering for 2 days to hear papers and study and discuss how they could better serve the local church as elders and trustees and ushers. Alliance Men is a group of men in Washington, Pennsylvania, meeting with their pastor one night a month for an all night of prayer. Alliance Men is 925 men in the William Penn Hotel in Pittsburgh at the annual men's breakfast, listening to Charlie Jones and Vinegar Ben Mizell, and then giving $4,200 to the Alliance Hour. Alliance Men is a local men's fellowship in Marietta, Georgia, where each member is responsible for one boy in a boys' brigade, being his buddy and visiting his home and remembering his birthday and taking them as a group to sporting events. The objective, to lead them to Jesus Christ as they show them their love and their concern by being a buddy. It's a group of Alliance Men with Pastor Al Runge, and I just talked to Al Runge within the past 3 weeks. He's our Alliance pastor up in Burlington, Vermont, sponsoring a banquet for 250 men in the Ramada Inn for the business and the civic leaders in their town of Burlington. The editor of their daily free press being present, and he wrote the following as part of an editorial, and I quote, "Clearly there are many men in Burlington who are seeking answers to the meaning of this life and the life beyond. And clearly, too, there is a demonstrated need for more of the banquets where men can receive the inspiration on a Christian message with Christian music and Christian fellowship." And that was written by the editor of their city paper. It's 50 men in Brockton, Massachusetts, each Sunday during the summer months, working shoulder to shoulder, doing the work necessary to conduct their Sunday evening outdoor parking lot service. It's the men in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where the pastor wrote me and he says, "We're having a brain-picking session. They're looking for ideas and suggestions and proposals to help the men of their church." Not the men of some other church, but the men of their church. And then he sent me some of the things. They said they wanted to minister to a group in a Bethesda mission. How about having jail services? The state hospital is looking for men who will minister there. Summit Grove, which is their campground, needs workday volunteers for painting and carpentering. The home for the aged at Carlisle should be visited. After I had this, I wrote my good friend Joel McGarvey, who's running the home at Carlisle. And I said, "Joel, I'll be going through your town. I'd like to stop and have lunch with you. And if you can get the men in our retired folks' home there at Carlisle, I'd like to spend an hour with them." We had a great time. Because here were men that had given me the heritage of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And here they were in an old folks' home. And for an hour we sat around there and they told me how their prayer meeting every week, they'd pray for Alliance Men. They'd pray for the missionaries. And then they said, "Mr. Milburn, tell us what's going on." And I was able to relate to them some of the things that were happening today in our churches because of the interest of laymen. We've forgotten some of these people. I expect to go back there again because I had a wonderful time with them. And these are Alliance men. Then at Harrisburg, they said, how about a Saturday morning prayer and Bible study? And they started to distribute the Reach Out version of the New Testament. And then there were the men in Greenfield, Massachusetts, and they were endeavoring to involve every man with an interesting monthly program. Now, this is different. They had programs idea. And the first one was on budgeting. I know some of you fellows are like me. You think budget's a new breakfast food that comes out. But they started to talk about budgeting, and they said, we're going to use the Bible as the guide. And then they had a sweetheart banquet. They had on Valentine's Day, and they took their wives out. They had the film, How to Grow a Church. How many of you have seen that? That's a terrific film. And then the men in charge of a Sunday evening service and an outing for the boys. And then they had the last banquet, Get Your Man. And every man was to bring an unsaved man with him to their annual banquet. Alliance Men is a retreat way up here in Montana, with the men taking a day to hunt deer so they could supply our Indian school with meat for the year. That's Alliance Men. It's a retreat at Big Sandy that I attended several years ago up here in Minnesota, 12 below zero. 8 of the men came with snowmobiles. And that afternoon, poor me, with low shoes and a regular suit, I sat inside. They took a 25-mile snowmobile trip, 12 below zero. It's a retreat next Friday and Saturday down at Swan Lake, Florida, with Saturday afternoon being given over to sporting events, even a golf tournament. And men are being encouraged this year to bring their high school boys along with them. It's Al Nanfeld up in Massachusetts, who's holding a fish fry, and he invites his neighbors in and tells them about Jesus. It's the men down at York. They gather around because one of their men shot a deer, and they had a successful hunt. This is Alliance Men. It's not an organization. It's a ministry. It's meeting the needs of the men in the local church. And I believe that the rebirth of the laity is the most significant happening in the Alliance movement in the past 10 years. And I did not make that up. I was told that by one of our district superintendents. He says the most significant thing that's happened in the Christian Missionary Alliance in the past 10 years has been the rebirth of our laity. The laity has become a first-class servant citizen of the church, assuming a responsible place. The church must be a place where the abilities of a layman is called forth. And we have been asking the world to come to our churches and receive Christ, but we now know that the message must be taken to the people, and the skills and the abilities of laymen are required, as well as that of our missionaries, our pastors, and our evangelists. There's no doubt that more books have been written recently on lay work than on any other subject in the church. The day of being a Christian spectator is over. That where just a few speak and a lot of us listen. Jesus said, go ye, and that means everyone. After 7 years working with Alliance Men, I have come to the place where I do not evaluate the work of Alliance Men as to the number of meetings held, or the fellowships organized, or the members enrolled, or the money collected, but in the terms of lives developed for the work of the ministry in the local church. Our greatest call is not to be promoters or motivators, but to be proclaimers of God's love. Last spring, I was privileged to be a part of the second annual Layman's Convention of the Christian Missionary Alliance Laymen in the Philippine Islands. And in our opening talks, we presented our heritage. They've had the Alliance in the Philippines for the past 60 years. We here in the States have had it for the past 80 years. And so we had looked back. And then we reviewed the present, where we were today, and how, if this Alliance heritage is going to be passed on, you and I are going to pass it on. My father was an Alliance pastor. Came out under Dr. A.B. Simpson. I happen to be old enough to have heard Dr. Simpson preach when I was a boy. I have a daughter. My father passed the Alliance Heritage on to me. I in turn endeavored to pass it on to my daughter. She graduated from NIAC. Now she has three children, and she's passing it on to these three grandchildren of mine. And the men sitting in this room, if there's to be an alliance tomorrow, you're the men who are going to be responsible for it. And then we looked ahead. And then it was the closing Saturday morning. My good friend Walt Malone from down Orlando and I had spent much time in prayer asking God for direction. And I knew that many men in the United States and in Canada were praying for us. And I knew the men and the people in my own home church back in Altoona were praying for us. And early that Saturday morning in my room, I knelt and I recommitted myself to Jesus Christ. And I asked him to send me home from the Philippines different than when I had come. And I'd prepared a talk, but on the way to the platform, a Filipino man handed me a handwritten note. And it was a question that he had written. I'd like to read that note to you. It says, to Mr. Milburn, the reaction of the layman to different messages is indeed very significant, and if implemented properly, will redound to the glory of God. But there is a common weakness among the layman here in the Philippines, that when it comes to implementation of what is called for in the messages, they become indifferent and the enthusiasm just dies out. So much so that the saying, Ningus Koga, was coined by no less than President Marcos of the Philippines. How can we overcome this lethargy so that we, laymen, will not only be hearers, but doers of the things of God? How would you have answered that Filipino's question? How can we overcome this lethargy so that we laymen will not only be hearers but doers of the things of God? As I said, I had prepared notes that I was going to talk about on that closing Saturday morning. But the Holy Spirit directed, and I leaned over to Walt Malone, sitting on the platform with me, and I says, Walter, how about you giving your personal testimony? And following that, I'll give mine, because this will be the only answer that I can give to this man. A personal testimony of the time of commitment to Jesus Christ in my own life, and also of a following daily commitment. And I told my new Filipino friends how God had used people to influence my life. I told them of my mother and dad, dad being an Alliance pastor, mother a godly Christian woman. I told them of the pastors that I, as a layman, had sat under, altogether 12 different pastors. I told them of some of the Sunday school teachers that had touched my life, and especially of one old gentleman when I was a boy in high school. I don't remember anything that he taught me, but I remember Sunday after Sunday, as he stand there with his Bible, teaching us boys about Jesus Christ, the tears would roll down his cheeks. That influenced my life. But old Ben Yingling's gone home to heaven. I never told him that he influenced my life. And yet that touched me. How many others did he influence just by being a Sunday school teacher in our church? I told him about different individuals, people who had touched my life. And then I told him about a layman in our home church. I told him of his life. How that down through the years he had had practically every ministry that our church could give him. He had had every office. He could even play the piano. He could direct the choir. He was a soloist. He would fill the pulpit when the pastor was absent. He had been a deacon. He had been a trustee. He had been everything. Probably the most outstanding Christian layman that I've ever known. And he had an influence on my life. He had 10 children. Two of them became Alliance pastors. He had an important job with the Pennsylvania Railroad Company. He was chief clerk to the supervisor of expenditures. And yet he had time to give to the work of Jesus Christ, and he put Christ first in his life. I remember I stopped in because his daughter had called me and says, "Paul, Daddy's sick." I stopped in his home and we discussed things because he was then the director of our radio ministry. And he says, "Paul, you'll have to take it this Sunday because I don't think I'll be out in time." And he had another radio program that he ran by himself on Tuesday. He says, "Maybe you can take that." "No," he said, "I'll be better by that time." It was on Wednesday. On Thursday, our young people had a wiener roast. And the wife and I stopped at his house, picked up some of his children, went to the wiener roast, came back, never even bothered to go in. I yelled in, "How's Dad?" "Oh, he's getting along fine." Next morning was Friday at noon. I was home eating lunch with the wife, and the telephone rang, and it was one of his daughters, and said, "Paul, Daddy died." He was only 51 years old. He said, "Daddy died." I remember going to his funeral. One of our Alliance pastors preached the service, Jarve Conley. And he said, "Somewhere, someplace, God has got to raise up men to take the place of this man who served Jesus Christ." Well, within several months, I had several of the jobs that my good friend had had. But I realized this, as those jobs were given to me, that I did not have something that my friend Mac had. So it was a Sunday morning, and we were having an evangelistic meetings in our church, and May Decker, the Irish evangelist, was preaching. She came to the end of the service, and the congregation stood to sing. Something said to me that morning, "This is it. This is the day that you better make a decision." Now, I had been a Christian. I had been a Christian for many years. I was teaching Sunday school classes. I had been president of the Young People's Society. But I did not have something that I knew my friend Mac had, because there were things that I did that there weren't any results. And yet I could see my friend Mac, when he did them, the Holy Spirit used them, and there were results. So that Sunday morning, as the congregation was singing, I knelt at an altar, and I could take you to that altar, and I could take you to the 12 inches where I knelt, because it's there today. It only lasted about 3 minutes. Nothing startling. But I made a decision. And I only prayed one verse of a song. And it was the last verse of the song that the congregation had been singing. "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ, only, always, living in me." There wasn't a person dealt with me. The pastor dismissed the congregation. There wasn't another person in the church that morning that knew anything was happening there at the altar. Yet it was the greatest decision that I ever made in my life. Because I told God that from that time on, he was not only my Savior, he was to be the master of my life. It was just like as if I took a blank piece of paper and put my name at the bottom. Said, "You fill it in." Now that happened there that day, and I can take you back to that spot. But it's been a daily commitment ever since. I made a decision. I told God. In my room in the Philippines that morning, I was reading. And I was reading the old Christmas story. And I came to Matthew 2:12. Where you remember Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus and they departed into their own country another way. I was going back from the Philippines to my home, different. So there that Sunday or that Saturday morning, I said to Walter, "Walter, come up here with me." Because I knew Walt had done the same thing. He had made a full commitment to Jesus Christ. I said, "Come here and stand with me. And let you and I ask God to send us back to America. To do God's will. Every day of our lives." And then thinking that there might be some of the men in the room, there were 93 Filipinos there. And these were educated men, doctors, lawyers. I said, "Perhaps there might be a half a dozen of you men who would like to go back to your own church, different than when you came here, to daily commit your life to Jesus Christ." And before we could finish, every one of those 93 men was off their seat and around the altar, praying to God. Now, this wasn't anything that I did or anything that Walt Maloon did. This was the Holy Spirit. God had directed this man to write a question. The Holy Spirit had directed me to throw away what I was going to say and just give a personal testimony. And I well remember, as they cried out in prayer, and then as Walt Maloon closed in prayer, and one of the Filipinos started to sing, "Fill my cup, Lord, fill it up." Following that meeting, it took Walt and I over a half hour to get out of the building. It wasn't any bigger than this. There was this Christian togetherness. And this is what I'm hoping and praying for, that our laymen can have this Christian fellowship. We sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds." And that's the fellowship I'm talking about. Not a donut and a cup of coffee. Although there's nothing wrong with donuts and coffee. Nothing wrong with men having them. But there's far more to Christian fellowship than that. And that morning over there in Davao City, down in Mindanao, I again experienced this Christian fellowship that we have with other Christians. We had been with them but 3 days. But the best part is, God's still working. I had a letter yesterday before I left home from one of the people over in the Philippine Islands. I've had a letter from Reverend Madrigal, who is their president of the Christian Missionary Alliance there, and from local Filipino pastors and from laymen. That tells of how God is continuing to do the work, not at a convention, but back in the local church. Now, their third convention is going to be held next April. They've written already, and they said, "Can you send us over 2 more alliance men? They want to raise money to build churches and have scholarships for the young people who will be attending Ebenezer College. And so I trust before you men leave this retreat, I know you're going to be challenged. And I trust that you'll hear God speak. And I trust that you too will make a decision."